It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. In last week's school shooting in Minneapolis, an attacker killed two school children and wounded 17 others. That high-profile shooting has brought discussions about school safety to the forefront as students and teachers in Wisconsin head back to school, rehearsing lockdowns and practicing new safety measures. How are schools in Wisconsin responding to concerns over gun violence this year? Trish Kilpin is Executive Director in the Office of School Safety at the Wisconsin Department of Justice. Trish, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Rob. I really do appreciate the opportunity to talk about school safety, especially as kids return to the classroom.
And as kids return to the classroom, can you remind us what kind of things are in place for schools to prepare for the unlikely but scary event of a school shooting like this?
In Wisconsin, we have required schools under the school safety requirements for schools, section 11807. It does require schools to do certain things and provide documentation of those actions to the Office of School Safety, which is the office that I am a part of. Those things include having a very specific localized site assessment, having an emergency operations plan or a school safety plan, providing training for staff, making sure that drills are conducted for students, and that having maps on hand for first responders and for schools in the event that a crisis occurs.
How consistent are these kind of trainings and lockdown procedures and things like that among schools around Wisconsin? Or is it different from district to district?
Yeah, there truly is a lot of variability. Schools should be making local decisions about what is necessary to practice in terms of drills. This relates to their school safety plan. A school safety plan in a northern Wisconsin community that may be near a railroad tracks or have open fields may be very different from one in a suburb or in an urban community. And so the school safety drills are meant to provide some automaticity, some first step reactions that kids and staff can lean into in the event that a crisis occurs. Now, while most of us do think of a large crisis like what happened in Minnesota, most often schools are using these procedures for smaller things. Like, for example, if someone has a medical emergency in a hall, you want kids to be able to stay in their classroom so that the assistance can be delivered to the person who needs care, and also minimize their exposure to these events because they can be upsetting. So that is an emergency operation step. That would be a classroom hold. Schools across Wisconsin get to customize what they utilize. We do have certain practices that we encourage, and in fact, we've drafted a comprehensive school safety framework so that schools can localize in an informed way.
Before you were at the Office of School Safety, you were a school social worker for more than 30 years. How have you seen school safety and the way we think about it change over the decades?
Well, that's such a great question. Columbine happened, right as I was starting my career, and it did change the way we think about school safety. And there were recommendations made at that time to improve our practices. I remember the first school safety plan that I wrote as part of a team in the school, and it was huge, and it sat in a big binder on a shelf collecting dust. And I think we've moved well past that. There's greater recognition that it's not, that we have to regularly practice the things that are in those plans and that we have to be familiar with them. We also know that there are things that we can do that work to prevent school violence. And one of those is Speak Up, Speak Out Wisconsin. That's our threat reporting system that we have statewide here, and it is run through our office. Speak Up, Speak Out provides an opportunity to get help for kids who are struggling at earlier intervention points. And it also is a place where people can report if they believe somebody is thinking about planning a school attack. These attacks don't just happen out of the blue. When someone decides that they're going to commit one of these acts of violence and are planning a school attack, there's lots of pre-operational planning that occurs, and that is noticed by others, and we need people to report that.
sometimes these attacks happen, are committed by a student, sometimes a former student or community member. Does something like that Speak Up, Speak Out program watch for that as well?
Absolutely. You know, any concerns about school-age youth can be reported to Speak Up, Speak Out. While the research shows us that having such a threat reporting tip line does decrease violence in schools, we just see a very broad diffusion of benefits. The largest tip that we receive, the most frequent tip, is about bullying or cyberbullying. Kids that feel that they're being maltreated in their school, they don't feel like they have a sense of belonging. These are things that when we deliver that locally to the school, there can be interventions very early where someone doesn't get to the point where they start to think about using violence to cause harm to their school community. All school shootings that occur, they start with a grievance or an upset for that youth. And so we're proud that people are reporting their concerns early so we can intervene. Now, that said, we've also received more than 450 the actual number is 491 so far, of tips to our office where people have been concerned that someone's planning a school attack and interventions have happened.
We're talking to Trish Kilpin, Executive Director in the Office of School Safety at Wisconsin's Department of Justice, looking at school safety with the back-to-school season. Trish, I struggle sometimes with how to talk to this as a member of the media and as a parent who has sent kids to school. On the one hand, these school shootings are real, tragic. They are legitimately frightening. On the other hand, they're rare, right? And I didn't want to be a parent living in fear at the same time, and I don't want to have everybody living in fear as they send their kids to school. How do we split that difference to be safe and responsible, but not scared all the time?
You know, every school is going to experience some kind of violence. They're going to experience a fight or a threat, but very few schools are going to experience a targeted violence incident like a mass shooting. We have to be able to differentiate between when kids are saying and doing things of concern that require some support and intervention and someone who's planning a school attack. And that's where the field of behavioral threat assessment and management is powerful. We teach behavioral threat assessment and management here in Wisconsin. In fact, we've taught over 8,000 people how to differentiate between someone making a threat and posing a threat, and then most importantly, what to do about it to prevent violence and get help for that person. I mentioned SUSO earlier. Another thing that happens with SUSO is we get concerns from youth reported to us that appear maybe thinking of suicide, or they themselves might be thinking of suicide. This is also something we see oftentimes in these mass violence incidents, is that the person is planning to die by suicide in the event. So it's a complex situation. I really appreciate your question about how to talk about it. So I think we have to be careful in how we talk about targeted violence. We don't want to glorify or glamorize this mm-hmm. in any way. We want to make sure that there's a clear message that targeted violence is preventable, and that if we notice these signs and report them to appropriate places, that we can prevent violence in our schools.
Another issue I wanted to check in on with you on, UW-Madison and other colleges this back to school have seen a so-called swatting, where somebody doctors up a fake shooter report, often triggering police response. This is colleges happening in this wave. Back in December, we saw Wisconsin schools the target of these kind of hoaxes. What kind of harm does it do? What can we do to prevent that?
Yeah, these swatting incidences are really impacting people adversely. It's really awful. It is not a victimless crime. When people fear that they're not safe at school, they it impacts them psychologically. It contributes to their feelings that they, you know, and their worries about school, and it increases their anxiety. And when kids are anxious and worried, they can't learn. The challenge comes that when these swatting incidents occur, there are certain things that we look for in terms of patterns to be able to identify that it's a swatting incident. This is one of the reasons why it's great we have a statewide tip line, because we're able to share information with schools about trends that are happening across the threat landscape in Wisconsin. Now, these incidents do impact our students and our parents and our staff, and they first have to operate from the place that it could be a real incident and invoke their emergency operations plan. But quickly, once it's determined that it's a swatting incident, they need to proceed with normal school. Kids and community members are very impacted by their worries with school safety. In fact, our Attorney General Josh Kwal and I did some listening sessions with students last school year where we heard the frequency by which they're worrying about these school events, and it is significant. So we have to be able to understand the way kids are feeling and how these events get portrayed on social media. And we encourage people not to repost those things on social media, but instead to contact SUSO or local law enforcement or their school to let them know what's happening.
For parents and students who want to be part of a solution to concerns about school violence on whatever scale, remind us, how can people use something like a SUSO, the Speak Up, Speak Out? What other kind of actions can they take to make a positive difference?
We encourage students to always go to a trusted adult, their parents, their teachers, their school leaders, their coaches. And there are times when students may want to report something and those folks may not be as accessible to them, like at 2 a.m. So we are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we welcome students to give us information so they don't have to worry about it alone. No student can handle these things by themselves, and they deserve support. Secondly, the community at large can educate themselves about what would be warning behaviors that they might see if someone is planning an act of violence. And we have created an e-learning module that's welcome that anyone in the community can watch if they go to the withdoj.gov page and go to school safety under training opportunities. There's a Foundations of Targeted Violence Prevention course that I created that could help people better identify when somebody is demonstrating those concerning behaviors.
Trish, thanks again for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Trish Kilpin, Executive Director in the Office of School Safety at the Wisconsin Department of Justice. She joined us for a look at how K-12 schools in Wisconsin are responding to the threat of gun violence this back-to-school season.